Okay, here we are back. Hour three, our regular report, nightly report on the coronavirus pandemic and how it is doing here in the formerly United States and around the world. There are a number of news story headlines up now that are causing a lot of upset around the country, especially in Washington, where the governor says Donald Trump is fomenting domestic rebellion and spreading lies with his tweets about liberating states currently under stay-at-home orders. The president is fomenting domestic rebellion. Quote, end quote, Governor Jay Inslee. This is really getting to be like a sci-fi movie. It's very strange. The president is literally encouraging civil disobedience in the states. You look at it for what it is, and that's what it is. Dr. Henry Nyman is back with us tonight as we wind up another week. Henry, welcome back. It's just getting to be crazier every day. Just when you think you've seen most everything, here's Trump urging the people to go in the streets and break the...
He's not only urging people to go in the streets, he's not taking questions at his press conferences. Well, he's not answering questions. He's giving very, very, very short answers. And and he was asked about those tweets about liberate with those three states. And
Minnesota, Illinois, whatever.
They had a tough time, I understand why they're doing it or something along those lines. And they asked about spreading the virus. He says, they're my supporters and they seem to know what they're doing. Something to that effect.
Oh, God, that was clever.
right. And so
they seem to know what they're doing. So leave them alone.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they got pictures of them with their yelling and screaming shoulder to shoulder with, just spreading virus. And in any event, it's a very touchy situation. And, the states are not ready to end the lockdown. All the states he cited all have, numbers going up, not going down. They're nowhere near baseline where they could try easing up and careful monitoring to see if it was kind of providing conditions for the virus to spread. And he's saying, don't just go ahead and liberate the country.
That's what he said.
The state, and they're all Democratic governors, and he's just trying to politicize the pandemic, and it's crazy. On Fox News, they got commentators, doctors, Dr. Phil, who apparently no longer has an active license, and his license was in psychology.
Dr. Phil.
Anyway.
Yeah, right.
And Dr. Oz, and they're back to comparing a pandemic to, automobile accident.
But they're dismissing it then. They're saying it's no big deal. I get it.
Pool drownings. And, the bottom line is, 40,000-50,000 people dying is what's the problem. So they're essentially saying that it's okay to have tens or even hundreds of thousands of deaths. As long as you restore the economy, and it is not even logical. In Europe, they're trying to kind of ease up on the lockdowns, and they're opening stores, and guess what happens?
Right away, the staff starts to get sick.
No.
No?
Nobody goes to the store.
Oh, nobody shows up. There's that, yes. There's
right.
always that.
Right, so the store is open, and nobody wants to go out to the stores and get infected to go shopping.
This is going to last for a long time. Oh, yeah.
Right.
The damage is huge.
So just, stood just opening the stores. And the other problem in the United States with no lockdowns in states that have, you know, all this open space.
The wide open space. I got it.
The food supply is under threat because the essential businesses are the meat processing plants, and they're shoulder to shoulder, and the virus gets into the plants and spreads in the plants, and they have to shut them down. And then it affects the food chain because other plants are dependent upon these. And the Smithfield plant in South Dakota is the best example. But there's, you know, the number of cases, I think, is over 600 now in the plant, and another 150 contacts of the employees in the plant. And they still haven't tested all of the employees in the plant, which I guess is about 3,700. So
wow.
There's likely to be additional, I mean, it's like a cruise ship all over again. There's likely to be additional cases that have not been tested. So there's no contact tracing. And employees at other businesses in the town are now turning positive. And now they've got this list in the local paper of all the other businesses that have at least one case of the virus. And these smaller cities, you know, I guess Sioux Falls is the biggest city in South Dakota. I'm not sure how big it is. I guess it isn't probably that small. But in general, they don't have that many hospital beds. I think they're actually setting up a 100-bed tent facility next door to the hospital. But they don't have, you know, that much capacity for hospital beds. And they probably don't have that many ventilators. And they're not really set up to handle these if they start getting a large number of cases.
Right. And 180,000 people.
Right. And so, you know, they've got 1,000 of them are already infected from this one plant. And they don't even know how many are infected from the one plant because they haven't tested on them all. And there's no lockdown in the state. So the employees of the plant are free to go visit whoever they want to visit in the state and infect whoever they want to infect because, you know, there's lots of open space. and the governor says that they're business friendly. And, you know, and apparently there are other outbreaks in meat processing plants in adjacent states. They've got another one at the Tyson facility in Waterloo, Iowa, and another one in Grand Island in, I guess, Nebraska. And these are, you know, spreading in these locations.
Tyson is usually poultry. Is this poultry or is this also pork? Do we know?
It just says Tyson on the sign. Mm-hmm. I know they're normally poultry, but they seem to be referring to it as a meat plant. So whether they do, you know, chicken meat and they're, you know, I don't know. That's what I was looking at. It just says Tyson on the
Four poultry workers in Georgia died today. Four poultry workers at one plant. So there you go.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the situation is that the conditions that the workers are working under are not, you know, the type of, you know, there's no separation.
And how do you
there's
make that
no
safe?
Precautions.
Shoulder to shoulder assembly line work.
Right, right. And if you start spreading it out, so you kind of use every other position type of a thing, and they're not as close together, then your production levels go down because you can only employ half the number of people at the, you know, with the existing, you know, machinery, which are, you know, typically a conveyor belt.
And, well, that'll result in higher prices. Supply diminishes, right. Prices go up. So,
well, it won't just be higher prices. It'll be like toilet paper. And there'll be runs on those products for people
correct.
To have a freezer. And they're going to stock up on those.
Well,
and then
you have
other
to limit
people
one pork
get
chop.
Concerned.
One right. pork chop per
they're
person.
They're going to get concerned because they go there and see that there's, you know, their pork chops aren't there anymore. You know, they're, you know, come back tomorrow or whatever, and then they'll tell other people, where can I get pork chops? Because I went to X, Y, or Z, and none of them have it. And they'll say, I don't know. I think you can get it such and such, but if you get it, you should stock up on it because it looks like the supply isn't that, you know, reliable. But in any event, that, and this is happening in the heartland. This is happening in precisely the states that don't have any limitations, that are run by governors that think they have to keep everything open. And they assume that, you know, just like Trump says, lots of open spaces. How bad could it be? And how bad can it get? And we're going to find out how bad it can be and how bad it can get, because the virus really doesn't care.
The virus is spiking in rural areas. Story I had yesterday. It's already going up in rural areas around the country.
Right.
All around the country.
And that's what the prediction was that there were going to be outbreaks at different levels and at different times. And there were going to be rolling outbreaks because these other areas need something like, you know, the processing plant in Sioux Falls. They just basically, get an outbreak and it spreads and all of a sudden you got this huge cluster and there's no restrictions. And like I said, they haven't even tested everybody in the plant. So, I mean, if you're in a plant of 3,700 people.
Unreal.
And 600 are positive. You would think that the other 3,100 are at risk. And even if they don't have symptoms, you should find out who's infected and is either asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic and take precautions so it doesn't continue to spread because they don't have to have symptoms to spread the virus. And they're not at the plant anymore, but they're still around. They're probably still in Sioux Falls and they're probably still going shopping. And they're still doing whatever they want to do because there's no lockdown or any restrictions. And they may be asymptomatic. I have no idea they're infected. Or they may be infected but think that, well, this feels like a cold. I got a little bit of a cough. I really don't feel that bad. And I'm not going to work because it's closed. I might as well go ahead and, you know, get that shopping done that I've been putting off because I've been too busy working. So the whole idea that by ignoring the virus and making the town, you know, business friendly is going to kill the business because the virus is going to take over the town. But in any event,
these people must be thinking a little bit down the road. Are they just thinking that?
No.
What the
no,
hell? Let's let it burn through
much.
The populace.
No.
All right.
It depends who the populace are. If
right.
the populace is them, it's okay. Can burn
correct.
Through them, whoever them
that's,
is.
That's no,
but
that's right. That's what
but,
I was
but,
alluding
but,
to. Yeah.
But if the populace is rural towns, they'll just say it's open spaces. There's not, you know, they got less than 1,000 cases. How bad could it be? It hasn't, you know, erupted yet. And there's probably, you know, not that much spread. And they're just stupid. They don't understand infectious disease. they don't understand that, well, you might have some open space out on the farm, but there's still cities in the state, like Sioux Falls. And you've got businesses, and you've got cities, you've got a relatively dense population, and they go into a processing plant that they're literally shoulder to shoulder, and they're assuming it can't happen here, and they don't really take precautions, and they don't really do testing, and they get into trouble, and then they could say, how did this happen? And
my point is this.
The governor's in denial that it's even happening.
Correct.
And that,
my point is,
we got to keep it open.
Some people in government, not necessarily Trump, but perhaps some of those whispering in his Othello-like ears, are saying, we're going to have to just let it go. It's just going to have to work through them all. It's going to have to burn through the whole country. There's no way to stop it, or you're going to lose the economy, and you're going to lose re-election. And maybe that's what they're wanting. Maybe they want this just to run. I don't say that Trump does, but there may be some people out there, the economy or the people.
Well, they may want it to burn through, but I think they don't understand exponential growth, and they don't understand.
I concur with that 100%.
You know, 60,000 is a lot, and 100,000 is very high, but 1 or 2 million is you know.
But if you save the economy, Henry, what the hell, right?
Well, the point is that while all these people are getting infected, they're not going to be doing any shopping, even if they've got jobs.
No, and going into those newly opened stores, they're going to bring the virus in with them.
Or bank accounts. They're not going to spend money because it's too dangerous to go out because there's too much virus around.
Correct.
So the economy is not going to be saved. You're not going to have a bustling economy in the middle of a pandemic. And burning through may take several years.
Could be.
I mean, this has all kind of parallels with 1918, although it's got the potential to be worse. And it's not just the U.S. It's the whole world.
That's right.
So it's something that is, I mean, the unemployment rate is going to be greater than the Great Depression. And it's not going to be delivered to the United States. It's going to be worldwide. There's not going to be trade. People are not going to travel.
You're right.
And it's not going to snap back because people are afraid. They don't want to get infected. You know, if there's a way to combat the virus, and the virus, you know, you either have a vaccine or you have an antiviral or you have both. And so, you know, so you don't have fatality rates of, you know, 5, 10, 15%. And it's like, well, you know, if you get infected, we've got a treatment for that. And, you know, and you just go and, you might have to go to the doctor if it's an IV infusion, but, you know, you'll be good to go in a couple of days and you're not going to die. And, then it's, you know, more, you know, palatable or you know, that you can take the risk because the outcome isn't going to be death. And
I hear you. You're making perfect sense. I just think that there are some people at this point who would rather save, quote, the economy and to hell with the sheep. Let them do what they have to do, whatever happens.
Whatever
it's like
happens.
You're giving up trying to do the right thing medically for health.
They're not thinking through the repercussions and
not at all
not appreciating the exponential growth. And
here's another one. Let me do this here. This fits in with what you've been saying. Just as cases are starting, they think, to plateau in some big cities and along the coasts, not true. The coronavirus is now catching fire in rural states across the American heartland, where there has been a small but significant spike this week in cases. So that's playing out now already. It's beginning to make a move in rural America in those wide open spaces.
Right. And it's the same virus, and it's the same targets. And it doesn't, you know, it can spread in cities, and people in cities, you know, visit people on farms, or people on farms have business with people in the city. You know, it is something that's very transmissible, and most people aren't just totally isolated, especially if they're in states that don't have any restrictions. And they
Oklahoma, 53% increase in Oklahoma just in the last week, 74% Arkansas, 82% Nebraska, in Iowa, South Dakota, 205% spike in South Dakota thanks to the Smithfield plant.
Right.
But
right.
There you go.
And, most of these states don't have that many cases, and therefore there really hasn't been a whole lot of data on the sequences. But there has been from Iowa. I think there have been 9 sequences now from Iowa. And they're all the Italian strain. So, I mean, it's in the heartland. It's not just on the
coast. Here's more validation for what you said last night. You said, and you made it very clear and explained how it was happening, that the Italian strain is now moving into Southern California, Los Angeles, etc. And we could expect to see an increase, not a decrease, in the number of fatalities. Here's the story. California is nearing the grim milestone of 1,000 deaths statewide attributed to the coronavirus, a mark that Governor Gavin Newsom said we hoped we'd never see. Well, yesterday, 95 dead across the Golden State, California's deadliest day so far. All right, that's a spike. So you were right. More deaths, yeah. And it's going to continue to go up from the Italian strain.
Yeah. Now, they haven't really published sequence yet from Southern California, but they have published sequences from Arizona, which is right next door. And Arizona definitely has the Italian strain. And so, in all likelihood, it's also in Southern California. They just haven't done any sequences in a long time. There really hasn't been much of anything coming out of Southern California. But it will. And it's switching over. I mean, they just released a whole series of sequences from the Seattle area. They're from Washington State, but most of them are from the Seattle area. They just don't say. And the Italian strain is going up. That in the 50 sequences most recently, which was pretty much the end of last month or the beginning of this month, there were, I think, 47 out of 51 were the Italian strain. So it's, and that used to be virtually 100% were the Orfeh strain. Yeah, and it's basically it shifted over, and now it's getting in the 90% range. And in the last couple of weeks worth of data, it's in the, like the 80% range. It's just going up on a daily basis there, and they're publishing a lot of sequences there. So it's not just a few sequences. Like I said, they released, I think, 100 sequences today, and it was about 80% overall and 90% in the most recent half. So it's and that time frame is not long. It was like between something like March 25th to April 1st. You know, so it was over only a 6-day period, but you could see it switch from there on the, in the 6-day period. If you took the first three, it was like 75%. If you took the last 3 days, it was closer to 90%. So the version, the Italian strain is becoming more and more widespread. And if it's in Iowa, it's probably in the adjacent state.
Well, you've already confirmed it was in Washington State.
Right, right. It's in Washington State. It's in Arizona. It's in Iowa. And it's in Minnesota now. It's doing the same thing in Minnesota that it did in Washington State. It's almost all Italian strain now. It didn't used to be, but now it's moved up. Really, towards the end of last month, beginning of, I mean, there aren't that many sequences from this month yet. There's usually a 2 or 3 week delay between the time they're collected and the time the sequences come out. And so, the recent sequences are the end of last month to, through maybe the first week of this month. You know, there's usually at least a 10 day, spacing, because they usually publish a whole series. They don't just do it on a daily basis. But in any event, that is, definitely spreading, and there's no reason that strain won't spread in rural areas. And it'll be something that they're just not equipped to handle because they don't have the number of beds, and they don't have they don't even have the healthcare workers to handle a big explosion in cases. And
it'd be intense in no time.
Right. And today's presentation was again somewhat misleading. They were focusing on testing and went through the different tests, et cetera. But they tried to again show that there's a dramatic decline in the number of cases. And that's why these governors can start thinking about their initial stage one with various relaxations. But the virus is probably declining slightly, but it's not declining dramatically. And they use ILI again, influenza-like illness.
Oh, come on.
Again today. Now, it was a slightly different presentation, and it actually looked a little bit more convincing. But in reality, it wasn't. It was just... It just looked more convincing, but it kind of was using the same data. And what they did is they had a chart that showed influenza-like activity for various years, including this year. And this year, they showed it kind of rise up and do a peak, like right around the beginning of the year. And then it kind of went down a little bit, and then it went up and did another peak. And it went down a little bit, and then went up into the third peak. And they said, well, this first peak, that was influenza B. You know, it's unusual, the season. Influenza B usually comes at the end of the season. And this season, it came at the beginning. So that first peak is influenza B, and that second peak is influenza A, and that third peak is COVID-19. And then the third peak... The other two didn't really come down to baseline. They came down a little bit, then they went back up. When the next peak came, they came down a little bit, they went back up. And for the third one, they just showed the line just heading towards baseline. And they're saying, there you can see that this is COVID-19 and it's heading towards baseline. But the problem with that is the influenza-like illness isn't due to just COVID-19 or influenza A or B. There's a bunch of other respiratory diseases that cause influenza-like illness during the flu season. And that's part of the reason they didn't come down to baseline, because they had these other viruses, and then the other one started up again, which is another reason. So after COVID, there's no new viruses that's all of a sudden starting up again. So there's nothing to keep it from going lower because there's a new one coming up. But there's all this other influenza-like illness that does go to baseline when the flu season's over, which is now. The flu season is pretty much done. So the other viruses that was propping up those other curves and not letting them go down that low are now gone. So it can go down lower. And it's, again, their own data. That during the flu season, they were saying, oh, COVID positives are only running like 1 or 2%. And that was in people that were influenza negative. So they first had to be negative for influenza before they would test them. And then they would have to be symptomatic and even have breathing difficulties. And in spite of having all of those prerequisites, they still were only getting COVID at like 1 or 2%, indicating that there was a lot of other viruses other than flu that were producing these symptoms and allowing these people to meet the criteria for testing, and the vast majority still came up negative. And further into the flu season, when some of the influenza started to, you know, the other illnesses started to go down, the COVID numbers started to go up, and they were getting up to 7, 8, 9% positive. In New York, it got even higher. It got much higher. It got up to about 30%. But, you know, outside of the very hard hit areas, it was still only representing 10% of the activity. So 90% of the activity is influenza alike, which is gone. And that's what's causing the large drop that they're showing after the third peak. So there's still COVID. And the evidence that there's still COVID and still a lot of COVID comes from the number of new reports that are still coming out. And I mean, today's report isn't showing any major changes. They've got, for today, in the United States, new deaths, 2,610. There's still 2,500 dying each day. New cases, 29,973. There's still 30,000 cases each day. Both of those are at all-time highs. So, and new cases might have a couple of days lag. But the states are reporting these cases fairly quickly, and these cases are relatively recently, and there's 30,000 new cases. And just as a comparison, the other countries that are basically doing the same type of reporting have, you know, a fraction of that number. I mean, I told you the UK was high because they basically didn't do any lockdowns for a while and got the virus to get out of control. And so they're reporting for today 5,599. And then the next highest in Europe is Italy with 3,500. France has 3,200. So these other states that are relatively hard hit in Europe are reporting 3,000-4,000 cases, and the U.S. is 10 times higher. They're reporting 30,000 cases. And it's the same thing with the deaths. The U.K. is number one again in deaths with 800, yep. And France is right behind at 700, and then Italy's still hanging in there. There are 500. And Spain's dropped down to only 100 now. So Spain seems to be getting their deaths under control finally. And the U.S. is 2,600. So, I mean, we're way ahead in deaths, and we're way ahead in cases. And these are all reported on the same day. So it's not like we're reporting cases from 3 weeks ago and everybody else is reporting cases from today. It's all essentially the same reporting and delays. These are daily updates. And and there are all these countries are reporting cases on a daily basis. So the cases are there. There are new cases. It's not going down to baseline. And that's why the whole situation is going to be difficult, because the virus is probably a little bit lower, but it's not dramatically lower. And it's still at the level where they did mitigation, because there's too much virus to trace. There's 30,000 cases. You're not going to get things under control by tracing, you know, 30,000 cases contacts. I mean, there's going to be 100,000 cases, but it's not a contact, I should say, but it's not 100,000 contacts, period. It's 100,000 contacts today. There'll be another 100,000 contacts tomorrow, because there's 30,000 new cases each day. It's not that you're counting.
And when the lockdowns are lifted, Henry, and all of these uninfected step forward into virus land, what happens?
Correct. Correct. And so it's a, you know, the economy is definitely taking a hit, and the virus is definitely hanging around. And that's a very bad combination. And it's a very delicate situation. And then Trump's out there tweeting, telling the people to take to the streets and liberate themselves and essentially perform civil disobedience and go out and start spitting at people or whatever.
That's,
you know, it's stupid. And he's taking a pandemic, which is a very serious situation. There's still no clear-cut treatment. There's still no vaccine. There's no easy solution. The virus hasn't disappeared. And just using SARS as an example, 17 years ago, SARS was kind of seasonal. It went and started in the fall, and it peaked in the spring, but it peaked in April. It didn't go away in April. It went away like in June. Yeah, so back then, this wasn't where it suddenly disappeared. It was still going strong in April. That's in fact when most of the cases happened. It started getting going in March, and then things really got out of control in April, and then it kind of started to fade after that. But this level is just literally orders of magnitude higher. I mean, in SARS, there were 700 deaths. The U.S. has four times that many deaths every day. The 700 deaths were in 7 months.
Right.
They were doing 100 deaths a month, and we're doing 100 deaths an hour. It's you know, literally several orders of magnitude different. And so this virus isn't going to disappear. It's all over the world. It's not just in a few countries. It's not just in a couple cities like.
And if anything, it may morph into something even worse. That's what viruses
right,
do.
Right, right. And I just saw just before we started the Russia released about 30 sequences, all from St. Petersburg.
Uh-huh.
And all relatively recent. Some of them were collected as recently as 10 days ago. It's like 4-7 was the collection date. And out of those, I think there's about 35 sequences. How many you think are the Italian strain?
34.
35. 100% Italian strain. So the strain's not going away. It's in Russia, and it's all over the place. I mean, that's how you knew it was in the United States, Because back in February, all these other countries who had never reported any cases, they were in Africa, they were in South America, they had zero cases. And all of a sudden, they had a traveler who had been to northern Italy, and that traveler was positive. And they took that Italian strain, and it went all over the world. And you knew that the U.S. wasn't testing for it because we hadn't reported any cases from Italy. The only cases we reported were from China, because those were the only cases we were testing. And anybody that came from Italy, you know, said, well, you don't meet our criteria. We're not going to test you. And therefore, we're not going to put you down as a positive. And therefore, we're not going to do any contact tracing. And therefore, you don't have to be quarantined because you don't have the virus as far as we're concerned. And you can go and do what you want. And anybody that you infect will not get tested because they have no travel history and they don't meet their criteria either. So the virus can do all the spreading they want, and it's going to be all under the radar. So in any event, the U.S. is strong versus the other countries. And you can see in the U.S. why we're getting over 2,000 deaths. Like I said, New York and New Jersey alone do 1,000 or even over 1,000. And Massachusetts today had 159. Michigan had 134. Pennsylvania had 49. California had 84. Illinois had 62. Florida had 58. Louisiana had 57. Georgia had 51. Connecticut had 65. All those cases are now between 50 and 100 cases every day. Deaths, not cases. Deaths every day. And these larger cities have, you know, long-term care facilities that are loaded with virus. So the virus is already in those facilities. And more are supposed to be publishing that. Pennsylvania started yesterday. So they list all of the long-term care facilities, and they list how many there are in the county. They list them by county. So they list how many there are in each county, and then they list how many positive residents there are and how many positive employees there are. And how many deaths there are for each of the counties that are there and their separate table. And Illinois is supposed to start doing that this weekend, and they've got the same problem. And it was New York. New York reported a couple of days ago, it's probably higher now, but a couple of days ago, they reported that 2.3% of all long-term care patients were dead. And wow. And the number that are dead is just a fraction of the number that are already infected and are going to be dead. And so, you know, they're probably in the 10% of the population are infected by now. And most of them are going to die. And so you're going to have, and it's not over. That's infected right now. That is tested positive. That doesn't count those that are infected right now that haven't been tested yet and don't show symptoms yet. And so because of that, these fatality numbers are not going down anytime soon. Even if there weren't any new cases, the ones that are already infected and have been either tested or going to be tested are going to keep the death rate guy high for the next month. And so the numbers are going to go up, and they're going to get to this 60,000 projection by the end of this month.
Right.
They're up to 37,000 now. They only got 23,000 to go. They're doing 2,500 a day.
37,000 now.
So 10 days, 10 mm-hmm. days is 25,000. That adds up to 62,000. So if they do today's rate for the next 10 days, uh-huh. they'll be above 60,000 death.
Well, you called it.
Right.
You called it.
And that's where so it's in the too many to count category right now. That's how many cases they have. And so the numbers are too high to say, well, let's ease up and do contact tracing and keep the virus under control. The virus isn't under control. And the countries that they say they are under control based upon open spaces, quote unquote, are rural countries that are just getting started. And the numbers are just starting to take off. And they're giving these examples of these workplace outbreaks. And the workplaces are food production. And right now I say, well, you know, it's 5% of pork production. That, you know, might be a little inconvenient, but that's not going to disrupt the food supply. But if it keeps on spreading and mm-hmm. you get more plants and you close more plants because they're linked, you know, they're dependent upon these other plants for product to work on to finish for shipment, then they're going to close down, and then you're going to have more disruptions in the food supply. And this is because they're out in the country. There's open spaces. There's no restrictions. And there's no problem, according to the governors. And they're business friendly, quote unquote. And therefore, they're going to keep their businesses open. And they're going to keep spreading that virus until nobody's going to go to their businesses because it's full of virus. And nobody's going to work at their businesses because they're in the hospital or dead. So this is the plan. And then you got Trump, who I said is the worst person. I mean, Trump is probably the most dangerous person on earth at this time because he's going to try to politicize this. He's going to create all kinds of problems. And, you know, he's preparing. if that's not enough, maybe I'll just declare martial law and call off the elections because there's too much.
He hasn't said that yet.
Civil unrest and too much pandemic.
Yeah.
So how can we vote? You know, and you can't.
Well,
vote
he
by
did
mail.
Say his campaign. His campaign announced today that they are bringing back the rallies. Said no later than November, so they're planning to do rallies again. These Rose Garden rallies aren't doing it, so he's going to go for the real thing.
Yeah. So what, they're doing rallies in November, or they're doing rallies?
He said no later than November. That's what the campaign said.
Yeah.
November's the election, though. So obviously they're not telling the truth. They're planning much earlier than that. Yeah. Maybe they'll just pass out masks to everyone, and I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
It's all crazy.
Give masks, washable ones.
That too.
Yeah, so they can take them home and contaminate the entire house.
He can autograph the mask, just put a D on each mask as he walks by.
As in debt or what?
Well, yeah, that's good, Henry.
That's what they did in New Orleans, too. So,
gosh.
After Katrina. So, at any event, that's where we are. And, it's not a good place. And it's not going to get better anytime soon. And numbers will continue to rise over the weekend. And it will definitely be over 40,000 deaths. And well on our way to 60.
All right. Enjoy. Have a good weekend. See you back here Monday. We'll continue to follow it as it rolls along.
You too.
Thank you, Henry.
Okay. Stay safe. Take care.
Okay. Dr. Henry Nyman, and I honestly don't think you can find better individual to assess and analyze what's going on. We do every night here this, in case you're new. We'll continue doing it as long as it's a necessary thing to do, like we did with Fukushima, same thing. All right, have a good weekend, have a safe weekend, use common sense, right? Stay in tune with what's happening by simply reading the headlines at rents.com. That'll keep you up to speed. Thanks for being here. Take care.